Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You know, people don't really normally care about the endless hearings that they hold in congressional committees. So perhaps to one extent, Congressman Peter King has already scored a victory before he holds his hearing tomorrow, simply because he's gained so much attention with it.
Well, he pushed a button.
Yeah.
He knew what he was going to get.
Absolutely. He is the chairman of the House Committee on Homeland Security. He's called a number of people to Washington to discuss the radicalization of Muslims in America. And the event has been protested by not just Muslim Americans, by many others who feel it's unfair to target one religion. A listener, Apocalypse, who calls himself Apocalypse in Detroit, writes at our website, "If you're going to investigate the connection between religion and violence, you should haul in all religions. Singling out one makes you look like Germany in the 30s. But joining us this morning is one of the witnesses who's been invited by Representative King and who will testify tomorrow. Dr. Zudi Jasser is the president and founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
First of all, I mean, I'm sure that you've heard the complaints that this hearing, simply by its goal to talk about the radicalization of Muslims in America, singles out Islam as a potential for extremism and violence. Is that not true?
Well, I think if you listen to the hyperbole and a lot of the vitriol being thrown around, that is the concern. But if you listen to the intent of the hearings and what we're talking about, this isn't even the first hearings on Islamist radicalism. And if we look, our country has been failing. We've been having an exponential increase in radicalization from Muslims that have become radicalized. And whatever we've been doing, whatever we as Muslims have been doing, has been failing. So clearly the vast majority of American Muslims are patriotic, would turn in a radical if they saw it. But the issue is that the dialogue so far has just been focused on that last step of violence. Radicalization is much more than just that final step of violence, which Homeland Security can address. We as Muslims need to address all the steps before it in which radicalization is happening before that person decides, oh, now I want to commit an act of violence. And that we have not even begun to unravel. And I hope, you know, these hearings give us an opportunity as Muslims to say, you know what, we're going to be part of the solution and not just in denial and ignoring it.
There is the danger, though, that it could further deteriorate the relations between the Muslims in the United States and the rest of the country. You might agree that there's already a sort of a misinterpretation of Islam in the U.S. and in other places, and this could actually exacerbate that rather than make it better.
Again, I would agree with you in that. I can't tell you how, you know, the negativity towards Islam was only a little over 30% after 9/11. Now they're saying it's upwards of 60%. Over 55% of Americans have never met a Muslim. And to me, the best way to melt that away is for Americans to see us saying, you know what, we have a problem within and we need your help to build platforms like this and beyond to fix the problem. And without those platforms, we haven't been able to fix it. The current groups that claim to speak on our behalf have soaked up the bandwidth with victimology and have not been doing our responsibility to fix the ideology of separatism that takes the identity of Muslim youth and makes them feel not attached to this society.
Describe to me, though, because you mentioned a moment ago, Dr. Zudi Jasser of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. And again, you're on the witness list for the Peter King hearings tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then later on in the week. You described the Islamic community as having failed in the United States on preventing radicalization. How do you measure that? What do you mean?
Well,
what determines the failure?
Yeah, the failure to me is the number of cases. Secretary Napolitano said that our threat of homegrown terror from Islamist terror is the most it has ever been. There were over almost 50 different groups of arrests in 2009 and upwards of 40 in 2010, and we continue to see more and more. Homegrown terror wasn't even a problem in right after 9/11. That was a foreign operation on our soil. So to me, that's the evidence.
So why do you believe her?
Well, because we look at the arrests. We look at out of 240 cases in the Department of Justice of active indictments of terrorism, 180 of them are Muslims. So we have a problem. There may be other forms of terrorism, but the ones I can solve and I want my legacy to be in this country for my children is to prevent this separation where our youth are pulled into a jihadi cool, into a cyber jihad, where they feel pulled away, and we should be able to be functional enough as a nation to have a conversation about the root causes of that and have the government provide a platform to create a strategy to look at that ideology, just like Prime Minister Cameron in Britain a few weeks ago basically gave a wonderful speech saying, you know what, we've been failing in Britain in identifying and helping British Muslims become part of the society, and we haven't had a muscular liberalism into the Muslim mindset, and it's allowed them to remain separatist and to swim in the pool of radicalism that then creates that violence.
But Dr. Jasser, I mean, if you're examining arrest records, you're also going to see a number of groups from all different kinds of religions, notably the Christian faith, who are also extremists, who have also been pushed to sort of radical extremes. In that case, maybe you agree with critics that it would be good to hold an examination of extremism, period, regardless of what religion they're from.
Well, I think in any type of analysis, you broaden it too much, you can't fix any of it because you're not looking at the root causes. Imam Awlaki, who drove a number of Muslims to commit acts of radicalization, himself became radicalized over time, spoke at four or five mosques around the country, and was saying things that nobody analyzed, nobody looked at how he was allowed to say them and what was the reaction of the local communities there. So there is a process that we need to look at, and if there's other faiths, you know, you can have other hearings. It's sort of like, you know, I'm a physician and I do this out of a love for my faith and my country, because I believe when you look at problems, you have to go to the core. So yes, we may have other, you know, you may go to a physician with two or three problems, but at times you treat one problem at a time, and this one can't be solved by Christians, by Jews, by non-Muslims. This one can only be solved by Muslims, and that doesn't mean it's Islamophobic. It's not. It's, if anything, it helps repair the problem that we have so that Islamophobia can melt away.
That is Dr. Zudi Jasser. He's president and founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. He will be testifying at the hearing tomorrow in Washington on the radicalization of American Muslims. What do you think?
Born and raised Muslim, Islam is a wonderful, peaceful religion. It's when people change Islam to try to become more modern and fit in with other groups that they may change things and allow themselves leeway to do things that is not allowed in Islam.
Modernization is the bad guy here. Give us your take at 8778 MyTake on these hearings tomorrow. You can also post your comment at thetakeaway.org.